Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good morning to you from the city center in White Plains. I'm John Marino, and we are Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live our Political Cup of Joe, which comes up every Friday, final Friday of every month, and it's done generally at a diner somewhere in Westchester. We get out and about today. We're doing it at the city center in White Plains, right outside ShopRite here at the city center, and produced by Shark Creative, we are made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester. Your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. The Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Accordia Therapeutics, Life Science, and Robeson, the house that service built. Our crew here, of course, our engineer, Matthew Kahan, the executive producer, Jim Cleafield, our overall operations manager, Andrew Castellano, all on hand. And we are joined today by the mayor, the esteemed mayor of the city of White Plains, Tom Roach. Mayor, thank you for taking some time. I know you're a busy guy to join us on Westchester Talk Radio.
My pleasure to be with you.
Now, 2019 is moving along fast. A quarter of the year is already done. This is the end of the first quarter here this weekend. How are things moving along in the city of White Plains?
Well, you know, things are going great. We've got a lot of interest in development in the city. We've got a lot of new corporations that have come into the city with jobs and more jobs coming. And so, you know, we're pleased with that. We're in an environment where people want to be part of White Plains. It's we have a very low crime rate. We've got great financial stability as a city. We're AA1 stable. In our last bond offering, we got a rave, basically, out of Moody's. And so people look at that. They want stability in the government of the city they're going to come to. They want a safe environment. Development's a risky business to begin with, and any risks you can get under control are important. And a lot of the variables that occur in other locations aren't in play here. Great access to New York City, great access to nightlife right here, great access to shopping, and we're sitting in the city center right now looking in at ShopRite. A lot to be done right here in downtown White Plains, and we're seeing the fruits of that start to ripen.
When you talk about other variables that happen in other places don't apply here in White Plains, what might those variables be?
Well, our crime rate's very low. We have great city services. I mean, we're renowned for our ability to clear snow. You know that in White Plains, you know, we've got three courthouses. We've got the seat of county government. We've got three hospitals. And so when you all the corporate headquarters, all the retail, those businesses need to know that if it snows, they're going to be open. And people in this county know if they can get to White Plains, they're going to be fine. And that's something we work very hard at for the reasons I just outlined, and that's another example. But it just starts there, but it goes into all the other services. It's a quality place to do business. It's a great place to live, and you know, we're very proud of what we offer.
Why is crime so low in White Plains now and throughout this area? I know New Rochelle likes to tout their crime statistics at being at, I guess, decades-old lows, and White Plains pretty much running the same way.
So, in general, our crime rate has always been low, but you have you know, and this, we could do a whole show on this. I'm a former legal aid attorney, and I've a 30-year attorney. Crime is driven by a lot of different factors, and what we do in our community that I think separates us in many ways is we have very robust programs for young people. Our youth bureau is incredibly strong. It's the type of thing that people don't see. They don't, you know, feel in their day-to-day life. But what we try and do here between our school district, our city programs, our youth bureau, is we make sure opportunities are put in front of every child. We want every child to be exposed to as much as possible, because when a child gets a hold of something, whether it's the trombone, whether it's wrestling, whether it's painting or writing, their academics go up, and everything goes up. The worst thing you can have in your community is people without hope, and we work every day to make sure that doesn't happen. Our graduation rate is very high. I see the kids that we send out into the world every year when I sit on the stage of graduation, and I feel like not only are we making a difference here, we're making a difference out there. So many of the fixes that people talk about with crime are at the end of the line. which is the wrong place to address it. The place to address it is throughout life. The other thing, you know, we have a successful drug court here in the city. Getting people who have substance abuse issues to address their substance abuse issue is a more effective way to reduce crime than to just keep locking them up. And I just came from the drug court graduation. I don't think I've missed one since I've been mayor, because with my experiences as an attorney, nothing can turn a good person into a not good person more quickly than a substance abuse problem. And if you can resolve it, you get the good person back. That doesn't hold for every. Some people, for whatever reason, they're tough to salvage. But when I see substance abuse, I think this is a person that's sick. If we can treat the illness, we can get a good, productive person back. And that's what we work on it here. And listen, crime is down in communities around here. And I am friends with Mike Spano. I'm friends with Noam Bramson. We have each other's cell phone numbers. We talk all the time. They're not rivals. They're not competitors. They have things to offer. We can't. I think we offer a very, this is what the developers tell us, this is what the corporations who come here tell us, a very stable situation. When Danny came in, they were asked, why did you pick White Plains? They said, we think it's the most millennial city in the region. That's the line he used. And, we were the first to put in bike lanes, car share. We brought in car share. We brought in bike share, which has been very successful here. And hopefully this year we'll be installing the first protected bike lanes in the county. These are things that don't appeal to everyone, right? But they really appeal to a lot of people that corporations are looking to hire. So they appeal to me. I think it's a nicer lifestyle. I mean, I was up in Montreal on vacation. You're sitting in a cafe and you see these bike lanes where people are, the traffic is heavy. You build the infrastructure, people will do it. And those are all people that are not in cars. So let's say you're a guy that says, I am not getting on a bike. That's for an 8-year-old. I'm not doing it. Okay, good. Everybody that gets on a bike is one less car that's in your way or fighting for a parking spot that you want. So,
you referenced the mayor of Yonkers, Mike Spano, the New Rochelle mayor, Noam Bramson, all great guys. They've done so much for their cities and for the county through the years and through the decades. How closely do you work with other localities, municipalities in Westchester when it comes to crime, when it comes to trying to attract companies and corporations to come here with every issue, basically, with the drug issue, for example?
Yeah, I think we work very closely. And as I say, it's at a point, I've been ironing a shirt in the morning and gotten a cell phone call from Mike Spano on something. The other day, I had someone ask me a question, and I quickly picked up my phone, and Noam took the call, and we chatted. I could go on further because I was president of the New York Conference of Mayors for a year, and there's mayors around the state that I talk to about issues. There was an issue came up. I called the mayor's office in Binghamton. I think it's a very collegial, local government is very collegial, and we talk about, sharing services. It's been going on forever. It's been going on since the first villages were created, and a lot of it is not contractual. It's a phone call, a handshake, and a helping hand.
And yet everything, when you talk about working together, everybody has their own interests first at heart. You have to find a way to make it all work.
True, but I think rising tide lifts all boats. So I spend my time talking about how great this city is to live in, to work in, to play in, and the attributes we have. But, I don't have waterfront. Mike Spano has waterfront.
He does.
Noam Bramson has waterfront.
He does.
I have the Bronx River, which I love. And
it's a waterfront.
I'll go all day on how great it is.
Can you develop on the Bronx River?
Yeah.
You can bike along it.
We don't want to develop it. It actually is, and I semi-jest, but I'm a runner. And if you run along it, it's, to call it a river is an interesting thing. They say it's the only true river in New York City, because in New York City, the Hudson is really a tidal estuary. This is what I've been told.
All scientific stuff.
Yeah, but... Yeah. When you run along it, it's to me a beautiful babbling brook. That's what most people would look at it that way. But I'll go with river. It is an asset to us. But it's not the same as you go on the other side of the railroad tracks in Yonkers and you see the Palisades and the river. That's a pretty beautiful sight.
You could swim across if you wanted to. It's not going to work though.
I could, yeah. Look, I can run.
Right.
Swimming, we'll just stick to running. I like to be on land.
We're with White Plains Mayor Tom Roach here, Westchester Talk Radio over at the City Center in White Plains. Our political cup of Joe last Friday of every month. We do it from usually from a diner. Today we're at the City Center outside ShopRite. I'm John Marino, joined by our engineer Matt Cahan, executive producer Jim Clayfield, and the guy who oversees Shark Media, Andrew Castellano. Mayor Roach, how serious is the drug problem in the city of White Plains right now around this area, the opioids problem? You go to Long Island, as I'm sure you know, there are communities decimated, and not minority communities, not communities you would expect to be decimated or halfway destroyed by drugs. Staten Island, for example, you go to Staten Island, the opioid problem there is terrible by all accounts. How is it here in White Plains?
Listen, it's a challenge everywhere. I don't think we are, like, worse off than others, but it's something you want to take very seriously because I think, as I mentioned earlier, my own personal view is that this is an illness. This is a treatable illness. It is a very, very, very difficult thing for someone to get off, and it shouldn't be minimized. There's no magic pill. Look at cigarettes. I mean, it took my dad a heart attack or two to quit smoking, not because he loved it, because it's such an addictive drug, and opioids the same. So, but I feel that the ground floor you need to work from is what I said earlier, is creating an environment where people feel like they have hope, they have something to lose, they have a future. If people feel lost, they can fall into this. Now, there is, of course, with opioids, the issue is some people get hurt, and then they're given these drugs. I mean, and they become addicted to them. I'm a cancer survivor. I had to have radiation on my throat area, and it burns it to the point that you can't drink a glass of water. So they give you painkillers, and I was very, very resistant, like pretty far into it, further than I should have. I was taking Advil because I'm a guy that only takes aspirin. So I told the nurse, look, I am taking Advil. And she looked me in the eye and she said, it's not going to do it. And I said, yeah, but I don't want to take the other stuff because it's addictive. And what she indicated is this is what they're for. So they're for short-term, pain. I think it was being pitched to people as something they could take the rest of their lives. And unfortunately, we are find ourselves where we are. I mean, I've been to award ceremonies for our public safety department with the police, and you have an officer that gets an award. He saved 3 or 4 lives last year. You know, most people go their entire life without saving anyone. It's something to applaud the officer, to applaud the department for being prepared with Narcan and things like that. But it tells you how sad the situation is. And when you have a person who's been saved multiple times, it's just, it's kind of heartbreaking because it's a life that's going nowhere. Not only is it a loss for the person, it's a loss for the society. What could this person be doing to benefit the world if they weren't in the grip of this illness? So for me, that is something we should all be working together on. And you mentioned about different communities. It doesn't matter what community you're in. It doesn't matter who you are. We should be treating this. We should be treating drugs as an illness. Addiction is an illness, and not as something to incarcerate people for. Now, I was a legal aid attorney when crack was huge. They could pick up a crack dealer anytime they wanted to, and they were trying to make statistics, I believe, in my view. And I remember as a young lawyer, fighting for these people and saying, where do they think these people, where are you going to put all these guys? Because it was so quick to become a felon. A couple of arrests, you could become a felon. And it was terrible. And I think society's come around to realize it was terrible. And they're trying to unwind it now. But part of unwinding it is to make sure we don't do it again. And I think we're in a better place than we were.
I think you bring up the key point about our current opioid mess, about the addiction and how it starts. It's not about a lot of times, it's not about somebody who says, gee, let me try heroin. It's somebody who had an injury, somebody who had an illness, and has to take a painkiller to which they get addicted. And I don't think a lot of that is mentioned enough as to the root cause of this problem.
Yeah, there's that, and there is the person that decides to try it, and it's very addictive, and it's easy to say that you can do something and then stop, but very hard to do with that substance.
Now, when you bring business, when you pitch coming to White Plains and trying to get businesses to come to the city, if I were the head of a corporation, what would you say to me right now? Why should I come to White Plains?
Well, I mean, we have, often they're already there, but to the extent I always tell them, you made the right decision and here's why, because they're getting my pitch anyway. The bottom line is we have a great city to live in, as I mentioned. Low crime rate, very diverse, great schools, very high graduation rate, very high quality of education. The access to New York City is unparalleled. It's not just how long does it take to ride in a train to Manhattan from your city. It's what is the level of service, and the White Plains level of service is amazing. If you're trying to catch a rush hour train and you miss it, there's another one 6 minutes later, 7 minutes later. That doesn't happen everywhere. We're the number one destination out of New York City in the morning. We are the second busiest station on the Harlem line. Grand Central is the busiest. We're not going to catch them. I could argue that Grand Central is a terminal and not a station, so we're the biggest station. And technically, I'm right, but I was talking to one of the engineers the other day. Once they do the connection to Penn Station, will it then become a station? They said it will probably still be a terminal, considered a terminal. So we have that. You have nightlife here, which matters. You have a lot of activity. Mamaroneck Avenue is one of a kind. I mentioned earlier we don't have a waterfront. No one else has Mamaroneck Avenue. You have this straight boulevard that runs through the downtown of the city, wide sidewalks, outdoor dining, trees. It's just tailor-made for the market we're in today, which is going to be more and more service-oriented, restaurant-oriented. When people see all the bustle and the hustle, which is my favorite thing as mayor, to look at my window on a spring day and see the sidewalks crowded with people, they want to be part of it. It's the old thing where you want to be where other people are, and you're drawn to it. If you see a restaurant and there's 40 people inside, but it's huge, you say, I don't want to go there. If you see a restaurant that can only seat 50 people and there's 40 people in there, you want to go there.
But you can't get in.
And that makes you want to go there more, right?
Right.
So now I want to make a reservation. But I think when people see all that activity, they want to be part of it. And I think that's there. We do a lot of the things, bike share, bike lanes, that stereotypically millennials want to see. But a lot of people want to see. We're working on improving all our pedestrian pedestrian conditions in the city. And these are the things that, you know, what corporations say is that they want to hire good people. They want quality people to want to work for them. And one of the issues that comes up is you need to be located in a place where these people want to live. So that's there. One of my jobs, I feel, is, and I say it to the corporations, my job is to make sure you don't have to sell White Plains. I sold it for you. I made it clear to everyone how good it is. So there's that aspect to it. And I think you have the retention. You want people, when they're working, to feel good about where they work. And when you are in a city like this, that means at lunchtime you can walk out the door and you can say, what do we want to have today, and walk around. After work, you can say to one of your colleagues, do you want to get a drink? Would you like to grab dinner? You need to do a little shopping. It's all right here. And I think that helps with employee retention. I do a thing where I go visit companies that are already here. Just call them up out of the blue, say, Mayor, would like to come meet with you. And I go meet with them, and we talk about their experience in the city. Are they happy here? Is there anything, you know? When I was a lawyer, you know, I always believed it's great to get new business, great to get new clients. Make sure the clients you have are happy. They're the best advertising for you, first of all. But second of all, it's what your job is. And you learn what you need to fix from the people who are here. It's been so positive, these meetings. And what they all talk about is how much their employees love it here. That's a great thing to mention to a corporation, that I've done that, because they want their people to be happy.
So you have quality of life meetings with the companies that are here already.
I come and chat. What do they want to talk about? I was meeting with Heineken USA yesterday. I want the corporations that are here to feel that they are part of this community, that they, not just the people that live here, not just the people that visit here, but the people who do business here, that we are a community, that we work together to make it better for all of us. And I think it has an impact.
Now, the corporations you do meet with have these quality of life meetings, like Heineken yesterday, for example. What do they say to you about what they might like to see come up in the future in White Plains?
I don't really get, honestly, we don't get a lot of suggestions for change. We get a lot of, they're excited, they're very happy to be here. This is just what happens. And we talk to them about things that they can do. A lot of them love the line bikes. A lot of their employees love the line bikes. At lunchtime, they can go out for a ride or go do some business without having to get involved with their car. We don't get a lot of complaints. I mean, I go there also to tell them about the services we have. They may not know about how great our library is, how their employees are entitled to get library cards. Talk to them about the bike share. Talk to them about our rec and parks activities they could be a part of. We're working now on creating a mixer where we would invite, you know, a different corporation would host. And you'd have invitations go out to the other corporations in the city. No agenda. Show up. The person who's hosting gives a little quick pitch about right. who they are, and then everyone gets to talk.
They hang out.
Right. I don't know that, you know, does Heineken even know that Jägermeister is in our city? Does Jägermeister know that Plattis, who they do Godiva chocolate and Carr's water crackers, that they're in our city? Do any of those know that Dannon is here? There's a lot that I think, people have fun. They build bonds. They make connections. Maybe they do business together. Maybe it means that someone chooses to do business with a company who's here. But that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to recognize that these are all human beings. The fact that if they're happy where they are, if they feel a connection to where they are, they're more likely to reinvest and stay.
So basically, White Plains, what helps the city to a large extent is location, location, location. In our last minute or so here in this segment, you have to make that location work. Otherwise, it's tantamount to not even having it.
Well, right. And I make the point in many different ways, but a lot of it, I all roads lead to White Plains. If you look on a map, true. The parkway system kind of closes in on White Plains. We have 287. It is the only highway that crosses the entire county. As we all know, the cross county is a misrepresentation. I'll say that. doesn't even get close to crossing the whole county. So that does give us a benefit. And I also like to point out to people that when you're in White Plains, you're half an hour from Midtown Manhattan and half an hour from the Bear Mountain Bridge. And if you're from the area, you know exactly what that means.
Mayor of White Plains, Tom Roach, City of White Plains, equidistant to everywhere, John Marino, Westchester Talk Radio, here over at the City Center in the City of White Plains.
Maybe not Canberra.
ShopRite. We'll be back with more coming up right here at the City Center. Political Cup of Joe, Cup of Political Joe, last Friday of every month. Generally at a diner today outside ShopRite at the City Center. ShopRite at ShopRite here with Westchester Talk Radio, WESTCHE. ESTERradio.com.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Here at the City Center in White Plains, I'm John Marino, and we are Westchester Talk Radio, the Cup of Joe political show every last Friday of the month, generally at a diner somewhere around the county. Today we're at the City Center in White Plains, outside ShopRite, which is kind of like, you can eat in ShopRite. It's kind of like a massive diner in a way, and my favorite place to shop. Joined by the City of White Plains Mayor, Tom Roach, here at Westchester Talk Radio. Mayor, we talked in our first segment about all the great things about the City of White Plains, why businesses come here, why businesses should come here. There is a report that says sales tax in the city, first portion of 2019, sales tax is down. Yet you could look at those numbers and work them any way you want.
Well, look, sales tax is not the indicator it used to be because of the internet. And I was at an event once when someone said, you know, why are there fewer stores in the downtown and more restaurants? And I said, well, and she said, I know, the internet. As if you could just dismiss that. I mean, we are in a situation where you can get a couch, a bed. You could be sitting on your existing couch and order an entire room of furniture, see how it will look in your room, take a picture of your room, you know, put it on there and push a button, and 2 days later, it's on your porch. So that is, you know, going to create an issue. There are, as people want a unique item, instead of going to three stores trying to find it, they can just put it into Google and it'll pop up with what they can do. So there's no question that has had an impact. And White Plains, you're going to see up and down for another reason. Most communities, when they have a new development come in or a new project come in, they incentivize it by waiving a lot of different taxes, which we do not. So we don't have our own IDA. So we, the county operates our IDA. Our power is to object. So when I became mayor, the first one that came through, we said we're going to object because we want our sales tax and our mortgage recording tax. And the deal that was worked out is that will be paid by the developer. And then we will remove our objection so that we are made whole. We get the money we have. But it doesn't get reported as sales tax. It's, as far as I know, it's a check that we get.
Right. Like I said, you can play with the numbers anyway.
Yeah. So we're looking at ShopRite. It's a busy store. Very little in there that's subject to sales tax. And so you're going to see it, there's going to be a shift. So the biggest issue with sales tax right now around the state and the municipalities is the fact that brick-and-mortar stores, right, contribute to a community. They help the community. You know, people lament when they leave. You got to shop in them then. Because if you're gonna buy online, you can't expect the store to be waiting for you. Because 3 years from now, you need the personal touch. You got to support your local businesses, but also you need to recognize this and deal with it. So what the state has done, which other communities have done, the Supreme Court ruled that right now, if you order something from Barnes & Noble, you pay sales tax to the state of New York, the county of Westchester, if you live here, city of White Plains, because Barnes & Noble does business in the city. Now, it really requires them to collect the sales tax. You're supposed to pay it anyway. If you go to New Jersey, you're supposed to report that on your New York State income tax return, as I understand it, and say, oh, that's right, I went to New Jersey and bought a suit for $200 that I didn't pay tax on. That's not how, you know, it's not happening.
It's not how it works.
It's not how it really works. So, but when, often we had senators opposed to this saying, we don't want to create a new tax. It's just requiring the seller to collect the tax. So, how is it fair, with all the other advantages that the online retailer has, how is it fair to give them the added advantage that if I go into the brick-and-mortar store, I have to pay sales tax. If I order online, I don't. So the state, and we're very early days now, I've been reading what I can on it. I was on the phone a lot yesterday about this subject because I'm a mayor of White Plains. I'm also very active with the Conference of Mayors, and it appears that they're passing legislation that would say that the marketplaces would now have to collect. So Amazon is a collection of smaller vendors that work through Amazon, that the sales that go through those small vendors that don't do business in New York, the taxes would be collected by Amazon and turned over to the state, and that money would be distributed, you know, state, county, local. But the sales tax taken from a company like Wayfair that does not have a presence in the state, but is the entity. When you buy from them, you're buying from them. That all of that sales tax would go to the state. So, not happy about that. But early in the day, it looked like maybe we'd see none of it. It is important. Most people, when they point to the services they get from government, they're talking about the services they get from local government. We're picking up the garbage. We're sweeping the streets. We're plowing the streets, fixing the streets.
And how do you pay for that?
We're providing police and fire protection, recreation and parks, pools. Most people's contact with government is at the local level. And we need to not, you know, we have been under the tax cap every year since I've become mayor. In fact, when I first became mayor, the tax cap was proposed or had been passed but wasn't in effect yet, and our first budget complied with it anyway, just to, as a sign of good faith. But you have to have these other revenue streams, and hopefully that we're going to see come out of this, that some of that sales tax will be recaptured for the communities where we provide the services.
Do you think the tax cap can be changed in this state? Might be changed one day?
I know there's some real 2%. So he does, and there are a lot of flaws in it. Like, for example, capital investment is counted in. You know, the money you spend that's not taken out of the tax cap, it is included. The state gets to take it out of their tax cap. Our tax cap is 2% or the cost of living, whichever is lower. The state is just 2%.
So they win, regardless.
So what I feel is we should either have their tax cap or they should have our tax cap, because my city taxes that I pay to the city are a lot lower than what I pay to the state in my income tax. So it's just fair. But I recognize that the reality is we're not likely to see many changes. There are some aberrations that I think could not have been intended and serve no purpose. We have a business improvement district in White Plains, as many communities do. This was first started, I think, with the Grand Central Partnership in New York at a time when the city was down on its heels and the hotels around Grand Central, they wanted to create a nicer environment. If you remember, they used to have taxi starters in like uniforms, like they were working at the Waldorf Astoria.
Yep.
And so that is local business owners getting together and saying, we want to have an additional tax on ourselves, but we control how it gets spent to improve the business climate where we are. So White Plains has a bid. That is what they do. And they spend their money to, in their mind, to improve, to have the flexibility to do what they think needs to be done. Our bid provides a lot of community events. I'll plug one right now. The first weekend in April, on Saturday, it's going to be Wing Walk. I think it's $15. There's over 20 or more restaurants. You get a card. Each restaurant has anything from 1 to 4 wings for you to try. You get two of each. And then you keep a ballot. You turn it in at the end of the day. We're going to pick the best wing in White Plains, but people will get to see all the different restaurants. This is something that I brought back as an idea from Schenectady, doing Schenectady. I talk to mayors a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's going to do great for business. But it's an example of something the bid does. They do the Oktoberfest. They do a summer solstice concert. They provide workers that sweep the sidewalks, because the sidewalks are the responsibility of the building owner or the tenant. So this takes it off of them and gives us a nice clean look, because it's very frustrating for a business owner to clean in front of his store and the guy next to him doesn't clean. So they provide a lot of services. They come to us for an increase. They have voted on it. They're doing it to themselves. We want to charge ourselves more money this year because we'd like to do a little something extra. And we have had to say no, because it counts against our sales tax cap. Even though it is not coming to the city, we collect it and we hand it straight to the bid. It is voted on and asked for, and it counts against the tax cap. So last year, we were able to squeeze it in. This year, they didn't ask for an increase. And it is frustrating to have the bid come in and have the business owners come in and plead with us to let them increase what they're charging themselves, and we have to say no. And then they tell us all the great things we do, and it's like, yeah, I get it, we can't do it because we can't fit it into our cap. And so I can't imagine that's something that they should just fix. But the feeling,
why seems, don't they fix it?
It seems to be the feeling is they don't want to open it up again. They just say it's done, that's that. Now what the governor is seeking is to make it permanent. That's what's going to be decided, you know, in Albany. And look, we'll play with any set of rules that are set. But the localities have not had an increase in aid, unrestricted aid to the municipalities in more than a decade. The school districts increase in aid, and I'm happy they're getting it. We are hand in hand with the district. Their increase in aid each year exceeds the total unrestricted aid package to municipalities across the state. This is an issue from Jamestown to Montauk. You see?
I was in Montauk yesterday, yeah, matter of fact.
I think I pretty much pulled it off in terms of the width of the state. So we haven't had that increase in aid, despite the fact that all the people that work in this city paying income tax that goes to the state, the sales tax, large portion of the sales tax is going to the state. Our success in competing with Stanford and New Jersey for different corporations coming in benefits the state. And we have not seen an increase in more than a decade. And what other operation could be moving if it wasn't getting an increase in, and so we're, and yet we have this cap that we have to work under. And so I think we have to work on one end or the other. It's time to see the aid increased. This is not benevolence. This is our money coming back to us. And when they first brought the income tax in, there was something called revenue sharing, and that kind of evaporated early on.
Is that a good idea, revenue sharing?
Well, look, I think the locality should see some benefit from the income tax, and we do. I mean, listen, we work with the state on a lot of things. We all work together on things, but just straight up, there's no argument. There has not been an increase in unrestricted aid in a long time, and you know, I
that's not fair.
It's not fair, and it's not hat in hand. It is, that is revenue drawn from the residents of this state, and that would be money being used to provide services to residents of the state. You know, I often say to people, I took my son up to look at a college in Buffalo. I'll say it, University of Buffalo, my law school alma mater. And we came back, and I love, there's great secrets in this state. Beautiful state. I'm a big New York State guy. Like to spend time in the Adirondacks. Coming back, we went to Letchworth Park, which is the greatest kept secret in the state. They call it the Grand Canyon of the East, with justification. It is amazing. It is beautiful. So we stopped there, and then we're driving back roads because I prefer that. And we're driving through villages, and, you know, I see a traffic light. It turns green. I drive through it. I have full confidence that the other lights are red. I go over a bridge. I have confidence that bridge is maintained. By who? By the local governments. By a government, I don't even know the name of the village I'm in or the town I'm in. They're taking care of it. It's not just for the people that live there. In White Plains, if your car is, someone's on 287, their vehicle catches on fire, our police and fire are responding. You know, it's just a basic concept that we often live our lives and don't even consider. And that money is helping these localities provide the maintenance and services that will help us all. I came through a little town on a quiet Sunday, and to my kids' credit, they were like, there's not a person to be seen. Let's take a walk around. Pull over. As I'm pulling over, and there's no one else to be seen, a police officer's pulling out from behind their village hall, and I said, I know what's going to happen. I get out of the car. She pulls up, and she says, are you guys okay? Do you need anything? And I said, we're fine. We just think this is such a cool place. We want to walk around a little bit. She said, you know, thanks. Enjoy your day. Now, if I wasn't fine, if I was having chest pain, she would know who to call and an ambulance would come take me to a hospital. I haven't paid a dime in taxes in that village, and I'm about to get those services. If one of the kids had an asthma attack. So, you know, I really believe this is just a sense. This is just really... it's just really equity. It's an equitable thing to do. And I hope everyone hearing this, maybe they haven't thought about this before, but when you do go skiing at Wyndham or something, or skiing, I ski at Bel Air, you're driving through these small towns, they're all providing services that you're not directly paying for. And I think that's why the state shares some revenue with us.
Bottom line, anything we get in society for many a decade now, it's basically the history of this country, you know, taxation without representation, big part of what this country was founded on, why this country was founded way back when. Everything provided by government has to be paid for. Government gets that money through taxes, and yet I don't think many people understand that the way they should.
I think they do, but I think there's a concern that it's not carefully spent, and I believe, certainly in White Plains, the concern is not founded. We work really hard. I mean, there was a time we had more than 1,000 employees here. We're in the 800s now. We look for ways to deliver the same services in a more efficient manner. We have the side loader garbage trucks now. So you have one person on the truck and can cover more ground. There's a lot of services, and we do shared services. We do work with other governments. Every time someone comes in with an idea, we think, is the ball already rolling somewhere? Can we just add a little energy to the ball that's already rolling? Let's not reinvent the wheel if we don't have to. But I think local governments have always thought like that. I feel at higher levels is where stuff gets a little bit weird. But a local government, the headline every budget was always, what is the property tax increase? That's the headline. And local governments were always looking to try and keep it down. The compliance with the tax cap across the state has been pretty remarkable. The hidden secret is that there are places that are not able to maintain the infrastructure you can't see, and that is going to come home to roost. That is what's happening in areas of the state. In White Plains, we keep up with it because we can. I'm not judging anybody because we're in a better position than a lot of other communities. But you have communities in this state, major communities, that are there's going to be a crisis, and part of it is if you can't. So why shouldn't they be able to do capital investment in their infrastructure and not have a count against the sales tax, the sales cap? Because when you put money into capital, you're taking the money and converting it to something else. It's still here. When you repave a street, when you repair a sewer line, the benefit of that continues. It's not one of the expenditures that just disappears. So, but I think we're going to see in not too long distance future start to see the impacts of this. And once it's in crisis, it's going to cost the state a lot more money. Because when communities are in crisis, the state will step in. And I feel like, how about we just do it now, put people in a place where they can maintain where they are, and what they have, and then we'll be better off.
I drive a lot around the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and I say, why isn't this road fixed? I remember right. This hole from 3 years ago, yet most of those communities don't have the money to do it, otherwise would be done.
There is that. There is also spring in the Northeast. I'll say this right now. The freeze melt that happens with asphalt results in potholes, and it happens every year. We're having a better year than usual in White Plains. We've done a lot of repaving. If you have really good asphalt and it's well sealed, you're better off, but it doesn't eliminate the issue. So we generally can respond same day to a pothole complaint, but just it'd be helpful if you call DPW and say, hey, I want to let you know there's a pothole on such and such a street, which is what I do. I report all this stuff. But people go right to, this is like a third world country, and like you don't even know, like it's the first call on the pothole. Give them a chance to fill it. They often can do it within hours. So, but it is, there are communities where they don't have that ability. We'll usually have two crews driving around looking for potholes. And then they get a call, we found one. There are communities where they can't keep up with the repaving. And so the streets get worse and worse and the water keeps penetrating. And what happens there too is eventually the entire street has to be reconstructed. It's not just a repave job. It's going right down to the base and starting over, and that's a lot more money. So I have a lot of friends. I have, I went to college in Albany, SUNY Albany, and I feel fortunate to have that opportunity, which was provided to me by the taxpayers of this state. Neither of my parents got to go away to college. I was the first in my family to get to do it. All my brothers and sisters went to SUNY. They wouldn't have had the opportunity without that. So I'm very grateful for it. But I've lived in Albany, Buffalo. I have relatives. My family, a lot of my family lives out west in the state. And as I mentioned, I go to Letchworth. I go to Adirondacks. This is a fantastic state. And I want everyone to succeed. We talked about, you know, New Rochelle and Yonkers and Mount Vernon. I want everybody to succeed. It's better for all of us. But I also want Syracuse and Utica and Rochester and Watertown. I want them to succeed too. So for me, that's what's happening in Albany right now is about trying to make sure that happens and to try to be equitable to these
final
people.
30 seconds with White Plains Mayor Tom Roach. Mayor, for anyone who would like to register, whatever they would like to register with your office or find out what's going on around the city of White Plains, how can they do that?
Well, we have a website, which you just Google City of White Plains. It'll pop right up. You can email me, troach@whiteplainsny.gov. You can call me, 914-422-1411. You can communicate with me on Facebook. I have my own account on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. The city has accounts, social media accounts as well. These are all ways to contact us. We have an app if you live here. DPW app reminds you when we're picking up the garbage, what we're picking up. Tells you if there's a change in schedule, tells you if we're coming to pick up brush, and will soon allow you to report conditions like potholes and things like that. So we're working every day to make it easier to communicate with us.
Our thanks to White Plains Mayor Tom Roach. Mayor, thank you. Hope we get to do it again real soon.
It's been a pleasure.
Regular
hopefully I'll get a diner in here by the next time.
Yeah, well, like I said, ShopRite's kind of like, I've always looked at it like a really big diner. You can go sit down and eat and hang out there
exactly.
All day if you like.
Yep.
John Marino, Westchester Talk Radio here, City Center in White Plains. Our monthly Cup of Joe political show one month away, final Friday of the month of April. We'll do it again somewhere around Westchester. You have a great day and stay with Westchester Talk Radio. That is Westchester Talk Radio, all one word, .com.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark.